Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in with Brad and Ethan, who still feels slighted by his name not being in the recorded intros and such. So I think that'll have to be fixed at some point, or we just manually say his name in the intro next time. That could be part of it, too. All right, Brad, with the economy, I know you pulled some clips on this, and we're going to be talking to Steve Moore here soon from Heritage Foundation. There was a pretty good clip, part online, and I think this is clip number 8, where the Trump presidency's treasury chief is clapping back at Brennan. Can we play that clip
Scott
real quick?
Scott Bessent.
When you were last here in March, we were trying to gauge what the impact of the standoff with China and with the tariffs on the rest of the world would do for American consumers here at home. At that time, you told us you were going to appoint an affordability czar and council to figure out 5, you said, or 8 areas where there will be some, you know, pain for working class Americans. Where are you anticipating price increases?
Well, thus far, we wanted to make sure that there aren't price increases, Margaret. And thus far, there have been no price increases. Everything has been alarmist, that the inflation numbers are actually dropping. We saw the first drop of inflation in 4 years. The inflation numbers last week, they were very pro-consumer.
Right. That's a big thing. You know, the inflation numbers do play a factor into it, but yeah, I don't know if it's too much alarmist or not, but it does make sense that companies who anticipated problems with the tariffs have stockpiled. Thus, they've mitigated some of the cost, realizing that they've been able to sell off what they have in their own inventory at the reduced rate before they have to go back, buy it at a higher rate and sell it at a higher rate. But conventional thinking would also say that they would have just sold it for the higher rate anyway, if they could have sold it for the higher rate. So maybe that is just all, again, fear talking to try to get people into the stores to buy a bunch of stuff, kind of like back when COVID was hit. Oh, we're going to run out of food. Oh, we're going to run out of toilet paper. Oh, we're going to run out of this and that. So everyone goes and buys the shelves all the way out. So could there be some of that going on here? And it could be some manipulation when it comes to the markets. All right, joining us now is a distinguished fellow in economics at Heritage, a Trump economic advisor, Steve Moore. Thank you for joining us in St. Louis.
Thanks so much for having me.
And your book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again. So we played that clip there from, I think it was Face of the Nation over the weekend, essentially, where they're saying, well, okay, what are we supposed to do with all these price increases? And they're saying, now, hold up a second here. We haven't really seen inflation go crazy like you said it would. In fact, inflation is actually getting better. And we haven't seen the major price increases like you said would happen. So we're actually seeing things stable off a little bit. So where do you think the economy is right now? Is it at a place where we can trust it? Because there is a lot of fear driving what could be happening in the future.
Well, first of all, I mean, everything you said is correct. That I've been wrong. I thought we would see some inflation from some of the tariff talks and so on. But in fact, so far, we've seen really pretty tame inflation. We're running at about 3% inflation, which, you know, it's still a little bit over the target of 2%, which is what the Federal Reserve sets for price increases each year. But 3% is certainly in the kind of zone of where you want it to be. You want price to rise by about 1 to 3% per year. And so there has not been a runaway inflation at all, despite all the dire predictions. So that's good news. And there's two new pieces of data that just come out in recent, about the last week. One is the Federal Reserve Board, which monitors what's happening with the pace of economic growth, you know, on a weekly basis. Their latest estimate for the second quarter GDP is 3.5% or higher, which is a really good number. So the economy is expanding again. The unemployment numbers are low. Now, are we out of the choppy waters? No, I don't think we are. You know, just the other day, Trump announced a big increase in the steel tariffs. That's, in my opinion, a very bad idea. It'll save some steel jobs, but it'll make all sorts of other manufacturing products in the United States more expensive if they use steel. So I think it's self-defeating. So we're going to continue to see choppy waters. But right now, the economy certainly looks a lot healthier than it was 2 or 3 months ago.
Let me put it this way. So tell me if this is kind of the conservative way of taking a liberal argument or not, because when you saw during Obama and some of the administrations, when they put a lot of emphasis on green deals, green this, green that. So yeah, we got to incentivize solar. We got to incentivize the windmills. We have to incentivize the electric cars. So we're going to put a ton of money into this because we know in the long run that this is going to pay off, because we're talking about our children's lives here, right? So they would say these things, and ultimately speaking, when it came to all these green things, none of them came to fruition. So is the conservative argument for this and the tariffs essentially, we got to bring everything back in here. We have to equal the playing field so our kids' lives are better. So is this basically, the thing I'm worried about is we're not going to get the payoff like we're promised, kind of like the liberals were told with the green stuff, that we're not going to see the payoff in the long run for all this tariff talk.
Well, tariffs, are taxes, and so they do negatively affect the economy. Now, look, I'm a Trump guy. I served with Donald Trump. I wrote the very first version of his Trump tax cut, and the one we passed in 2017, which was a spectacular success. We want to make that permanent. So I'm a Trump guy. I admire so much what he's done for our country in his first 4.5 years in office. On the other hand, the one thing I disagree with him a bit on is tariffs. Now, tariffs, in the past, when we've raised tariffs, it's not been good for the economy. But, you know, Trump would say, and there's something to this, that, you know, it's not a level playing field. Other countries are taking advantage of us, and we have leverage over them. So we should exert our economic muscle to force them to do things that are America's interest. And, I think there's something to that. I'm generally quite impressed with what he's doing. I love Doge. I love the idea of just exposing all the incredible waste and fraud and hundreds of billions of dollars a year in wasted money. By the way, 60 Minutes this past weekend interviewed, a Washington auditor that said that she thinks that the waste and fraudulent payments are near $1 trillion a year out of $8 trillion budget. So it's rampant. You know, people are just stealing money left and right. That's how Washington gets rich. And, then we got the tax cut. I think we're going to make that permanent, which will be a huge plus for the economy. We're deregulating, getting rid of some of the most onerous regulations, like, you know, forcing people to buy electric vehicles against their will. The pro-American energy policies is right. You know, it's funny. Everybody's talking about, the left is saying, oh, prices are rising again. You know, gas prices aren't rising. You know, they've been as low as they've been in 5 years.
Yeah. And I was looking at some of these other reports. There was that one Health and Human Services watchdog group that identified $16 billion in overpayments. And we find these not minuscule amounts. And I understand that the argument that some people make, which is when you're talking about a budget that big, $1 billion really isn't that much money. No, you got to stop thinking that way. And when you're talking $1 trillion waste, oh, man.
Yeah, $16 billion. Some states don't even have budgets that are $16 billion. Their entire right. budget isn't that big. So, you know, that isn't, and by the way, not million, billion, $16 billion dollars. And that's what we know of. You know, that's the money we know is being stolen. Imagine how much. And people might say, well, it's just, you know, floating back in the economy. No, it's not, because a lot of these people are ripping off the government are foreigners. And they're taking the money back home to China or Russia or Ukraine or these other countries. So it is a rampant problem. And it's the one thing I'm a little annoyed with the Republicans right now is they're not making a really great effort at trying to get rid of the fraud, other than what Elon Musk did. And I just wrote a column saying, you know, did Elon Musk drain the swamp or did he drown in it? Because, you know, all of a sudden he became a villain, you know, because he was telling people that the emperor wears no clothes.
I find that when it comes to outsiders that come in and try to make a change, there's only been one really effective person, and that's Donald Trump, to ever do it. And Elon Musk probably thought he can do something similar, meaning I could figure out a way to run this like a company and find ways to cut things to make it more efficient. And he found that it's a very difficult thing, which to me just indicates that Donald Trump may be one of the most unique persons in American history to be able to accomplish everything he's had and go against the government in the way that he has to accomplish it, which is really spectacular. But there's one other thing I've noticed. When you don't have the cards and you have a losing hand, there's something that Democrats primarily do. They go into this mode where we're just going to tell people that if we don't get our way, you're going to die. So people are going to die if you don't do this. People are going to die if you don't see it our way. And as soon as they pull that card, I feel like we know they've lost. So I feel like the Republicans are in a strong position to get something done here when you see that being said on the other side.
Well, it doesn't happen that often, you know, in the last 50 years when Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. So they need to act with a degree of urgency. You know, this is not a false alarm, folks. This is not a fire drill. This is the real thing. We're borrowing $2 trillion a year. Our budget's out of control. We need to grow the economy faster and grow the government slower. And that's exactly what Donald Trump wants to do. Now, again, I'm not someone who thinks that everything Donald Trump is doing is great. I'm not a big supporter of the tariffs and some of the other policies, but on balance, I think it's very strong for the U.S. economy. I think it'll be very positive. And I think by the end of this year, if we get this tax cut done and we get some of these trade deals done, I think you're going to see a big boom.
All right. I know your book, people can find it, The Trump Economic Miracle and The Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again. Where can people find that?
Best way to get first of all, if people want to get our free hotline, it is free. Just go to unleashprosperity.com and sign up. And it's not selling anybody anything because it costs you absolutely nothing. But I want people to be the smartest person in the room. So just read that. But then, you know, if they want to get the book, just go to Amazon. The latest book is called The Trump Economic Miracle, How We're Going to Revive the Economy Again. And Donald Trump wrote the foreword to that book.
Wow. Does he still not sleep? He was known in his first administration for like barely sleeping. So he must have stayed up late one day to help you out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks so much for having me. I hope you have a great, great week ahead.
Steve Moore from the Heritage Foundation, Distinguished Fellow in Economics. Thank you for joining us. I know he's got other interviews to go to. We probably held him a little extra late there. But the Trump economic advisor, and he's right about these things. And Brad, I'll go back to just the point. I think that once the politicians, and I'm not saying that that's always Democrats that do it, but if your main defense is people are going to die, and if you don't start doing this or you don't do this, people are going to die, that type of thing to me mm-hmm. indicates you have no other play. Like that's your only argument, then you're in trouble. That means you don't have the cards to get what you want.
Right, that's where we're at now, and it's that whole Chicken Little, the sky is falling thing. I mean, you can't just keep saying that sort of thing and expect people not to go numb to it. And so that's kind of what happened with that. Now if somebody says it, I'm like, oh, I guess you don't have anything. You know?
Do you remember Remy? Do you ever see
yes!
him?
I was just thinking about it.
That was a fantastic song he put together. So he does stuff for Reason TV. And as a musician, I would say he's well above average, and his parodies are hilarious on...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Reason TV. So if you get a chance to, that really what comes to mind when I see this out there, yeah. People are going to die. I used to have the song. I have a little button bar over here, and I used to keep the song here on my button bar so I can just play it whenever I want. Okay, you know what? As it turns out, I still have it here.
People need kidneys. It's sad but decreed. Yet the senator's hoarding one more than she needs. I offer this bill and I hope you'll vote aye. Unless, of course, you just want people to die. Traffic deaths have many crying with fear. Over 30,000 people are dying each year. This modest change I propose must be applied. Unless, of course, you just want people to die. Alcohol deaths are exceeding comparisons. Black people, white people, Native Americans. We need to ban alcohol. It can't be denied. Unless, of course, you just want people to die.
Okay, so that's essentially the song. And I got to say, he is an absolute genius. And I think he is fantastic.
If you watch...
But I keep that on my button bar.
I don't believe... If you watch the music video, basically he's dressed as different congresspersons delivering speeches on the floor. Like, this is their main argument for getting their bill passed.
Yep. You know, I have like other things that I keep on the button bar. You want to hear some of my random drops?
Let's hear it.
All right. Here's Joe Biden stuff. Let's see.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
That's a good one. This is another good one.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
That's a good one.
Jeez.
Come on, man.
I got to play that one a few times.
Come on, man.
How about this one?
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
You know, people say he was really sharp and they didn't see any signs of decline.
Couldn't keep up with him.
Couldn't keep up with him. But, you know, he was the sharpest guy and everything was fine. And he only did things like that. Or what was this one, too? Let's see.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you what.
Okay. Wow.
Like, I remember when he initially was saying that, when that clip initially dropped, and it's like, what is he? You go back and listen to it, and it's still just as insane now as it was then. There's, like, never been any context that's added to
it. You know, they've never found any sign of mental decline in Joe Biden. I would argue the signs have always been there.
Yeah.
The whole time. Yes. Going into a public area and saying, I let kids rub my hairy legs.
I learned about kids jumping on my lap.
Jumping on my lap.
You're watching that as his campaign manager going, what are you doing?
Well, I think this was, this was after he was out of office for vice president, but before he was running again for president. So that it was kind of in that limbo area, I think. So, oh, man, that whole speech. And then, of course, he uses a racist term in there and no one ever called him out on it.
Yeah.
He uses the term roaches. And if you want to know what that is, I guess you can look it up. I don't have to explain it to you. But he went there and he was talking about what it was like to be at a predominantly pool where was only black people, and he was the only white person there, and that was part of the song. Like, he was the only white guy, and he refers to the children as roaches, and I think he never really got the criticism that he should have got for that comment, but I think that was just a drop in the bucket for Joe Biden. I want to say that most people who saw the real side of him got to see the angry version of that Joe Biden often, and then just kind of hit it because it didn't really suit their prerogative, which is kind of sad. In a way, it's very sad.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to be with Dr. Jim Robbins after the break.
Yep.
Is that right? Senior fellow in national security affairs at the American Foreign Policy Council. It'll be a good interview. Go vote in our YouTube poll. Are you scared? Optimistic? What does the future of AI look like? Go vote in our poll. We'll get the results later. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk. Someone pointed that out, you know, it's a bunch of dudes, and it's one guy turning around to the other dudes asking, am I sexual? And the other dudes say, yeah, which is really strange. I never picked that up. I never picked that up when this came out, late 90s. But that was a really strange thing to ask your buddies, wasn't it?
I wouldn't ask my buddies that.
No, that never once came up. Hey, guys, I need to know. And to bring it up in song form. Joining us now is the Senior Fellow in National Security Affairs at the American Foreign Policy Council, Dr. Jim Robbins. Thanks for joining us here in St. Louis.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I wanted to discuss this video that came out of showing Ukraine and Russia, and it's such an amazing video. It's almost like out of a video game where they're controlling this drone and they're just bombing these planes that are parked. And to me, it is just quite amazing. Can I get your reaction to that between Ukraine and Russia and the video that came out?
Well, it's really fantastic when you look at this operation. I mean, from the conception of it to the execution of it, they loaded trucks, you know, with containers filled with drones. They positioned these throughout Russia. I mean, in some cases, far across Russia. And then we're able remotely to deploy them from the trucks to destroy these strategic weapons that were just sitting out there on the tarmac. I mean, just the whole thing from top to bottom was fantastic.
Yeah, I was telling Brad about this earlier. The last time I saw an operation that I was really wowed by was the pagers in Israel. And I thought that was a wow operation that was executed perfectly. This one looks like, to me, wow. So where does that lead us now between Russia and Ukraine? Because supposedly there should be having some peace talks here.
Well, it's a little bit disruptive to that process for sure. I don't know if it affects the battlefield situation too much, because even though some of these weapons have been used in the war, they weren't all destroyed. So it's a black eye for Russia. It's an embarrassment. I don't think it changes facts on the ground. And knowing how Russians do things, I'm certain they're going to seek an opportunity to strike back, if not in kind, then in a way that really makes the point.
So what would the point have to be made? So let's say this point of Ukraine is, you know, we need to show them we still mean business, right? We need to show them that we have the capabilities.
Yeah.
And you have to show this type of force and strength in order to let them know that we're not going away. So you better get to the table. Maybe if that's the message, I think Zelensky had something similar to say. So what message does Russia in return say to, how do you think they follow up?
Well, it was such an embarrassment to them. I mean, areas that they thought were completely secure suddenly aren't. You have Ukrainian special operators operating on Russian territory in order to make this happen. So they're going to seek some way to damage Ukraine's prestige or just do something very destructive to them. Russia hasn't used all of the types of weapons that it could use against Ukraine. And I'm talking about like strategic bombers and rockets, not nuclear, but, you know, still weapons with reach and with punch. And I think Putin will escalate it a little bit. I think he will unleash something on Ukraine that they're kind of not expecting, that he hasn't used before, but just really to make the point that you cannot embarrass him and get away with it.
You know, I was under the impression Russia was running out of steam like 2 years ago. And here's things are still going. So how much do they actually have left in the tank to retaliate? It sounds like, I mean, they've used pretty much every resource they can possibly use without getting other countries involved.
Well, A, there are other countries involved, North Korea and Iran, for example, but they do have a lot left. They're actually advancing on the ground. It's incremental, but they are advancing, and they're fighting an attrition war with Ukraine because Putin doesn't care how many people die to further his aims. He will empty his jails. He will throw in any kind of people into the meat grinder, and Russia has 4 to 5 times the mobilization base of Ukraine. So he can afford to do it. I mean, the Ukrainians have to kind of, you know, be careful about preserving their forces. They can't just fight an attrition war like that. So Russia can keep going in this war, especially since Putin really, I mean, he really doesn't care how many people die for him.
Let's say there's, unlikely as it is, someone's considering traveling to Russia right now. What would you tell them? I would tell them, don't be their next prisoner. I mean, it seems like that's the type of stuff that happens here because they have to pull people out for leverage and negotiations and things. I'm assuming most Americans would understand it's probably not a good time to travel over there, but I'm guessing some still do.
I guess people do. I wouldn't advise it, you know, for that reason. Like you could wind up a hostage part of the negotiation. I mean, if you absolutely positively have to go to Russia, make sure that your, you know, insurance is in good shape. Take a burner phone because your phone will be compromised when you go over there. I mean, you know, there's just so many issues with traveling to Russia right now.
Former special assistant in the Office of the Secretary of Defense. So what do you think the United States' role will be moving forward? They've been trying to facilitate some of these different discussions into trying to end this because we don't want to have to continue to, number one, at least deal with it financially from our sake, but two, we just don't want to have the uncertainty of everything else going on. So what do you think the United States' role is moving forward if they can't get some sort of deal in place?
Well, there has been a little bit of a rift between the Congress and the White House over the funding issue. I think that's being tempered, though, by the fact that even though President Trump was confident he could get everybody to the table, Putin just isn't in the mood to negotiate the way that Trump wants. So it seems like the United States might pivot back towards giving more support to Ukraine. I think the Ukrainians definitely have to seek more support from other countries, though, to like make up whatever gap might be there. So I mean, it's really hard to say right now, but it seems like the mood in Congress, the bipartisan mood, is to maintain or even increase the aid to Ukraine while they can. And I think the White House is kind of softening on their position on that maybe Trump would go ahead with that.
Can I ask you about China, too, while we're at it, talking foreign affairs? China still perhaps the biggest threat? Because, you know, we hear these things and we're like, okay, what if Russia does this? What if they bring out that? And, you know, we're talking about more war in the region. And you don't want to forget about what's going on right now, not only with tariffs, but what China could do and their capabilities, at least. So how do we stand with China, and are they still the biggest threat to America?
Well, China is definitely a growing threat when you look at what they're doing in terms of their military modernization. They're building up their nuclear program. They're looking at space weaponry. Their Navy is growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, far outpacing any growth we have in that regard. They're pushing out territorial claims, not just against Taiwan, but against all of their neighbors. And, you know, in that respect, China is a problem. But on the other hand, they're facing a demographic collapse. They've got economic contraction. The response of the Communist Party is kind of to double down on controls. And, you know, we know how that works, right? I mean, look at the Soviet Union. So China is kind of a mixed bag. But the more they face chaos internally, the more they may look to a foreign policy adventure to try to unify their country behind the party and behind Chairman Xi. So it's kind of a shaky time now with China.
Mm. Is there anything that we're not paying attention to foreign-wise that we should be paying attention to? I feel like we get news on a minute-by-minute basis, so most of us are pretty well aware of things. But is there anything out there that is lingering that concerns you that we should be giving more attention?
Well, I think the recent domestic terror attacks in this country have drawn a little more attention to the fact that international terrorism is still out there and it's still a problem. People being motivated by extremist ideologies who are willing to use violence to make whatever point they're trying to make. So even though we're not as focused on it as we used to be, say, post 9/11, the terror threat is still out there, and it's something we have to be concerned about. And then, of course, there's Iran, which people are talking about. I don't know if they're talking about it correctly, because there's no way Iran's going to give up their nuclear program. So, I mean, those negotiations are just not going to work.
Yeah. And well, you know, the pinky promise, which is we'll just give you aid and you'll.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Promise not to enrich things. Yeah, right. That was kind of one of those things we can go back and look at and predictably understood why we should be skeptic of Iran to begin with. But somehow we, during the Obama administration, we still decided to trust them, which boggles my mind. Yeah, and we continue to see them as a threat foreign-wise, but you talk about Boulder, Colorado. Is that what you're referring to when we're talking about domestic terrorism and what we find could happen in our own grounds?
Yeah, the Boulder, Colorado attack, the shooting that was here in Washington a couple weeks ago, the automotive attack in New Orleans on New Year's, which killed 15 people and was ISIS-inspired. The attack on Governor Shapiro's residence in Pennsylvania, and you know other incidents that have taken place recently, not all of which are motivated by, say, an Islamist type ideology, but many of them have been.
Right. Well, that's this last one. Well, I guess the last couple of when you're talking about the parade that was going on in Boulder and mostly targeting elderly Jewish people that were out there against Hamas and in the Jewish embassy, some of the problems that we saw. You're right. It's so funny. That just happened a couple of weeks ago, but it's out of our memory already. I don't know how to keep up with all the things that are going on, like in the United States, let alone around the world. So I don't know how you do it. So by the way, if people wanted to look you up online, Dr. Jim Robbins, where can they go?
Well, I'm the Dean of Academics at the Institute of World Politics, which is a graduate school in Washington. So you can go to iwp.edu and you can look me up and everything that our school does.
Great. Also a senior fellow in National Security Affairs, the American Foreign Policy Council, former special assistant in the Office of the Secretary of Defense. It's a lot of stuff. Your business card, I'm guessing, is like a full sheet of paper at this point. You got all the credentials that are on there.
Yeah, I try to keep it simple.
When you, on an education side, are you concerned? We saw all the stuff that happened in universities across the country where all the protests were coming out. Did that concern you?
Yeah, I was extraordinarily concerned. I wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal about that because, I mean, our school is not like those schools. Our school is committed to American values and, you know, the Western moral tradition. We don't have encampments. We don't have pro-Hamas chanting or anything like that. And looking at the way education has gone in this country, particularly higher education, I mean, it's just out of control in terms of the value relativism and, you know, hate America rhetoric and all of this kind of stuff. There's no sense of civic duty or support for the country or informed patriotism or anything like that. So I think what we're seeing now is a reckoning from that development. When the Trump administration is going after these schools, I think a lot of the public says, good, go for it.
You know, it was so interesting, too. You can look at the universities that, I guess, facilitated these protests and allowed for them to linger on much longer than they possibly should have. And then you get to the point where some of these universities continue to fight it today. And we can look at Harvard, which boggles my mind, too. That is what really boggles my mind. A lot of these other universities have realized their error in the way that they are harassing their own students and allowing this harassment to happen. But Harvard really wants to make sure that harassment continues in the future by continuing to fight for those protesters. That really boggles my mind, too. I'm guessing I don't know how that ends with Harvard, but I got to say, you got to stand by those students that are getting yelled at and harassed and not allowed to freely move around their own campus. But Harvard doesn't seem to mind it so much, I guess.
Yeah, it's sad. I think that they figure they can sit on their $54 billion endowment that they built up by exploiting the nonprofit laws, and that somehow they can wait the Trump administration out. I guarantee you they will fail at this attempt because those endowments, they're in the target zone right now, and the government's going to go after them. So, you know, Harvard, you have the chance to do the right thing, but you're not doing it. So good luck.
Like every other university. Dr. Jim Robbins, thank you so much for joining us here in St. Louis. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, that is, it's so, to me, it's hard to keep up, Brad, with all the different world events, let alone the domestic events that are going on, because things change so fast.
They change so fast, and they're all interlinked and intertwined, and they play off of one another, and the repercussions of one affects the other, and it's just so much.
Yeah, good luck trying to keep up. I guess that's why programs like this are important, so we can have those sort of discussions. All right, when we come back from the break, there's a couple of things that are going on, and it's so interesting when it comes to athletes, biological males competing in biological female sports, and a couple of those different stories came up over the weekend I wanted to bring up. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk. Do you follow Tyrus on social media?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Tyrus. He's a regular on the show.
I know he's on the show a lot. He just posted something on social media. I hope he's doing all right. Is he doing okay?
You know, I haven't spoken to him.
So this is what he posted on social media about 1 hour ago. It's a picture with, it says, "I lied, neglected, and degraded the woman I love. I'm sorry." I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah,
I think last week we were going to have him on, but it didn't work out or something like that. And I know you do these updates with him, so I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So, and he's getting a lot of reaction, and you know, mostly, of course, positive to help support him through whatever he's going through. But we'll keep an eye on that, I guess. But can I talk about a couple of these different stories that came out over the weekend? Both of them have to do with trans athletes and the debate that still apparently goes on. So There's one from the New York Post here. It says, "Trans athlete tells critics to get a life after dominating girls' high school track and field state championship for second year straight." This person won the class 2A 400 meter dash by nearly a second at the high school on Saturday, a year after becoming the state's first trans athlete to win a state title, according to the Seattle Times. So the debate that we have here, the advantages that biological men have performing in sports against biological females. And the other side of it is the safety issue, where if you have trans athletes that are just physically bigger and stronger than the people that are on the field against them in these high school competitions, that the risk of injury is significantly higher when you're in these contact sports. So those are real criticisms. This trans athlete's response to the booing critics is get a life.
Jeez.
So, okay. You know, in some ways, I kind of understand it, because if this was your life, like all of your identity is revolved around you rejecting your biological sex, and then someone tells you that they don't play that game, and then I can understand why you get upset and say things like that, number one. But number two, I just hope that one day we can all get on the same page. And what I've seen, this number that's brought up a lot over the weekend, is the 80-20. Have you heard people bring up 80-20 often?
80-20 issues, yeah.
80-20 issues, meaning that the ones that are out there trying to advocate for the biological male athlete to be able to run over biologically female athletes in high school sports, you're in the 20% that agree with that. But the 80%, most people that would look at that in a pragmatic and realistic way would say, no, there's something about that imbalance that is inherently unfair that needs to be addressed. And on top of that, maybe the safety issue alone is it. And same thing, this is a female Oregon athlete refused to share podium with trans competitor. So this was the same type of issue. So you have these different podiums where they get to step up there, and if they win a medal, they win a medal at the state competitions. A lot of states are having those right now because it's the end of the school year. And they're saying, you know, I, in my protest, I'm just not going to go up there and accept that medal that I won, because inherently you set us up uneven. And good for those girls to make a stand that way. I really appreciate that.
I mean, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of bravery to do that. And I know, like, Everybody on the 20% side about this is worried about the feelings of the trans athlete, but they're not even thinking about the feelings of these girls who have worked really hard to get where they are. They've struggled, they've fought, they're at the top of their game. They are the best at their sport, at their age, in their state, and they have to compete a bit against somebody who isn't even in the same level. They literally do not stand a chance. And this person is out there basically taking all of their hard work and throwing it away because they can, you know? Mm. So whenever that person gets up there and they're like, get a life, it's like, no, that's not fair to these girls. I think you're cheating.
Yeah. I think you're cheating this rights.
I think you're cheating. And so I don't have to get a life if I think you're out there cheating.
Let's look at this, and let's play a clip here real quick. I think this was on Bill Maher with Democratic Representative Moulton, and this is clip number 9. It's regarding the Democratic strategy that we've seen, and going back into this last election, you'll hear this 80-20 number a lot, where the Democrats said, we're going to win this election by going all in on these 20% issues, and what most Democrats are realizing, they've lost the confidence of American people because they believe these were the biggest issues to tackle. Let's do clip 9.
I got in big trouble with the NPR crowd for saying a few days after the election, look, I mean, we're calling the Republicans weird and we're the party that requires pronouns in your email signature. And you know what? If you want to be trans, go for it. It's a free country and you can put your pronouns out there, but don't put that on me. Right? That's all.
Yeah. So his big thing, tell me when someone is so funny, you ever see the Man on the Street segments where they're like going to young men and they're saying, okay, she has pronouns in her profile. What do you do? And they're like, red flag, I'm out of there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want, I'm not doing that. I think most young men realize this, and maybe what Tim Walz said, he's trying to explain why young men vote for Trump. He had a whole rant on this. Can we play some of these? This is clip number 6, because when I think about masculinity, I think about Tim Walz. And I want to know what he thinks about what a real man should be. So here's clip number 6.
I say this because I'm proud to say it. Looks like as of next Tuesday, I'm going to have a high school graduate with my son, Gus. And he's pretty in tune to this. But when he said this, he said, Dad, a lot of these young guys, especially, said they're not voting on the policy issues. And he wasn't dissing them. He said they may know the policy issues, but most of them don't. They're doing it because there's a sense of excitement, a sense of thrill in this. It's entertainment or whatever. We all dismiss that. Donald Trump's a clown. You know, Donald Trump's rallies are a clown. You know, this MMA fighting stuff and this, you know, and look, you start veering in to the Andrew Tate stuff, which is dangerous misogyny and, you know, assault issues and all of that. But there's a peripheral side of that is not criminal, but is still going down the same road of saying you got a place to belong.
Yeah. All right. So he says you're lumped in. If you like MMA fighting, you know, that's a dangerous trait to have. What? I mean, like he escalates it as in, hey, if you get down to this road, you know you're going to dark places if you like MMA. Like, that's his line in the sand that you should never cross.
It's wild to me because, like he wants to say, oh, MMA fighters, and then he's like, oh, the Tates. Well, the Tates are bad people. I get it. But they are not they're not representative of what young men think. They're able to take advantage of that situation because of the atmosphere that has been created by telling young men that they're toxic, that they're bad, that they need to take a back seat. So they, you know, when you do that, you open up the door to these bad actors like the Tates. And
let me just put this out. If you want to throw names out for the different parties, I would argue that the Andrew Tates are nowhere near as bad as the Jeffrey Epsteins to the Democrats.
Right.
So maybe if you're going out there and just going to name names, you should realize very quickly that some of your biggest supporters over the years aren't really the most upstanding people either. But then again, I don't think Andrew Tate's ever been out there to, like, you know, speak in front of the Republican National Convention. But let's go back. Well, keep in mind, too, Bill Clinton is a big part of the Democratic Party, too. And he's got his definitely problems in his past, similar to what Andrew Tate is facing. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. So that's Tim Walz, and he says he understands that young men are looking to belong to something. So they got into this cult that is, you know, Republican Donald Trump MAGA stuff. Is that kind of the argument he's making? And to his point that let's put it this way, if he's going to have a revelation over this, maybe the revelation is You've pushed away so many different people in your party. What you stand now for are the 20% issues, and you're upset because the majority's on the other side, and you're saying, no, you're the ones that are wrong, mm-hmm. when you're the 80% and then the right. Maybe that's what's going on. Is that possibly some of the regrets of their strategies? His unpopular nature maybe plays into it.
Yeah.
I know Tim Walz kept going, but I don't know if it's really necessary to play more. I think we pretty much
know any more Tim Walz. That guy, man, he just won't go away.
What's he doing nowadays? I guess a special guest on MSNBC.
Governoring. I think he's still the governor up there in Minnesota.
Just living in regret. Do you think he like texts Kamala Harris at night? We could have had it all, baby. he's like drunk and angry. You just like punched a hole in the drywall. We could have had it all. You and me, baby. Maybe not. We got another hour of the Manny Fry Show coming up. And one other thing that stockpiling Bitcoin or stockpiling bullets, what's the better strategy for the United States of America? We want to talk about that. And go vote in the YouTube poll. It would be really good for you to maybe give some of your hesitations about artificial intelligence, or maybe you're all on board. You like to go to your AI and ask it a question and you get the answer, deep search in things. Maybe you like the convenience of it. We'll get some of those poll results next hour too, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.